ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः. John verses 26 to 30, chapter 3. Na buddhi vedam janayet, na buddhi vedam janayet, ajnanam karma sanghinam, ajnanam karma sanghinam, joshayet sarva karmani, joshayet sarva karmani, विद्वान् युक्तः समाचरन् विद्वान् युक्तः समाचरन् न बुद्धिभेदं जनयेत् अज्ञानां कर्मसंगिनां जोषयेत् सर्वकर्माणि विद्वान् युक्तः समाचरन् प्रकृते क्रियमाणानि गुणैकर्माणि सर्वशः अहंकार विमूढात्मा कर्ताहमिति मन्यते प्रकृते क्रियमाणानि गुणैकर्माणि सर्वशः अहंकार विमूढात्मा कर्ताहमिति मन्यते तत्त्ववित्तु महाबाहो गुणकर्म विभागयोः गुणागुणेषु वर्तन्ते इति मत्वा न सज्जते तत्त्ववित्तु महाबाहो गुणकर्मविभागयोः गुणागुणेषु वर्तन्ते इति मत्वा न सज्जते प्रकृतेर्गुणसम्मूढाः सज्जन्ते गुणकर्मसु तान कृत्स्नविदो मन्दान् कृत्स्नविन्न विचालयेत् प्रकृतेर्गुणसम्मूढाः सज्जन्ते गुणकर्मसु तान कृत्स्नविदो मन्दान् कृत्स्नविन्न विचालयेत् मयि सर्वाणि कर्माणि सन्न्यस्याद्यात्मचेतसा निराशीर्निर्ममो भूत्वा युद्धस्वविगतज्वरः मयि सर्वाणि कर्माणि सन्न्यस्याद्यात्मचेतसा निराशीर्निर्ममो भूत्वा युद्धस्वविगतज्वरः. Lord Krishna spoke about the nature of Atma being infinite and indestructible, and it is the consciousness in every being. That consciousness is our real nature. And a man of wisdom knows that his original nature is consciousness, and he is identified with consciousness all the time. Therefore, the difference between a wise person and an unwise person is, where is the identification? Unwise person misunderstands himself or herself to be the ego, the limited self, the finite being, the individual. Whereas a wise person understands himself or herself to be the consciousness, unlimited, infinite and one. Therefore, there is no individuality. There is always oneness with the total. So he says, let not the wise man unsettle the minds of the ignorant. So the wise person like we described just now, who is identified with consciousness, knows that he is Atma, and he also knows that others are also essentially Atma, but they are functioning without knowing that. So the difference between the wise and the unwise is what? Both are consciousness only, but the wise knows and identifies and functions with consciousness. Unwise doesn't know the original nature, hence identifies with the fake nature, which is what is called as delusion. When you do not know who you are and you imagine yourself to be somebody else, and that situation is called as delusion. So the ignorant person is attached to action, and acting united with self, the man of wisdom should not unsettle the minds of the ignorant, but he or she should render all action attractive. This is what he said in 26. So, what is this ego? What is this individuality? For our practical purpose in the universe, for our day-to-day transactions and living, we are given a name. When we are born in this universe, we do not have a name. Right? For the first few days, there is no name. Each one in the family wants to give a particular name. Therefore, the amicable solution by the time they come to as to what name they should give to the child, it takes 10, 15 days or maybe 21 days. Till that time, how do you address the child?
Baby,
Juju, Jojojo, you understand? All sorts of things. So you were also called once upon a time Juju, Jojojo and all that. Right? You never had a name. So this name itself is fake. The fake name is essential for our daily, day-to-day transaction. Like when we are all seated here, somebody calls a particular name which is given to me, then I turn. If your name is called, then you turn and say, yes, what do you want? So for the practical transaction, for example, where does one country end and the other country begin? For there is no such thing as boundary in the natural order. But we have created that for our transaction purpose, practical purpose. But by constantly involved in transaction over a period of time, we get deluded to believe that is what I am. You understand? So how do you address yourself? Others call you with the name. How do you address yourself? I. If somebody asks who is conducting the class in this place, I say I. The I is the word I use to refer myself. When you refer yourself, you say I. So this I, when you analyze as to what is this I, then you understand that this I is not limited, this is infinite. So this wisdom when you have, then you cannot be attached to the gunas and action. Which is the expression of the gunas. Action is the expression of the gunas. But when you do not understand this, when you do not have this knowledge and you remain ignorant, then you get attached. So the difference is not in the action. The difference is in the detachment or attachment. So he says in 25, a wise fellow should also do action exactly like how an ignorant person does. But within him, he should not be attached. That is, an ignorant person is attached because he thinks himself to be limited. So, he feels the security only when he has these things with him. When you understand that you are infinite and everything belongs to you, then you would not be mentally attached to it. So this is the basic difference. The difference is not in the action, but it is in the attachment, and it is in the ego, the doership feeling. So wise person doesn't have the doership feeling, whereas an unwise person has the doership feeling. So in 27, he said, we have done up to 27, isn't it? So in 27 he says, actions in all cases are performed by the gunas, qualities of prakriti, nature, One who is deluded by egoism thinks, I am the doer. Because of the ignorance, he misunderstands himself to be the doer, while actually what is doing the action is the guna. So he says, actions in all cases are performed by the gunas. Every one of us have what is called as the vasanas, or the causal body, and mind and intellect, the subtle body, and the physical body, what is called as the gross body. The subtle body is the engine that propels the gross body to act. Gross body by itself does not act. Right? So the gunas, the mental temperament is classified into three gunas called as sattva, rajas and tamas. All of us are a combination of sattva, rajas, tamas, only the proportion varies. So if in the proportion sattva is maximum, you are called as sattvic. If it is rajas that is maximum, then you are called as rajasic. If it is tamas that is maximum, you are called as tamasic. So all three are there in every one of us. So according to the gunas, the actions manifest. Right? So therefore, it is the gunas that comes out as actions. I am not the doer. I am able to see the sattvic guna in me. I am able to see the rajasic guna in me. I am able to see the tamasic guna in me. When anger arises, I am able to see the anger. No? So that means I am not the anger. I am the seer of the anger. I am somebody who witnesses the anger. Anger becomes the object. I am the subject. When the greed comes within me, I realize that I am seeing the greed. So greed becomes the object. I become the subject. Similarly, love, kindness, whatever qualities, all those qualities, all those emotions, all those thoughts, everything, I am able to be a witness to it. I am able to see it. The fact that I see, I am the seer and they are the seen. Seen is different from the seer. So gunas are different from me. They are apart from me. I am apart from them. This ability to be apart and function is what distinguishes the wise person from the unwise. Unwise doesn't see this. Wise sees it.
So when you see it, you should still control it.
In fact, you cannot control if you don't see it. Unwise person doesn't see it. In fact, many of us, when we are angry, we deny the fact that we are angry. I am not angry. You understand? You don't accept because you don't see it. So you are not aware. So this is what is called as involvement in Vedantic terms, in Vedantic parlance. So we say you should not be involved, you should be objective. Right. What do we mean by objectivity? Yes.
You always need to control it. If you see it, then sometimes you control it, sometimes you let it pass. Sometimes
this is control, na? You are allowing it to pass, meaning it is taken your permission. You are allowing, you are not allowing it, again you are in control. Whether you allow it to pass or not, you are in control. And to be able to control it, you have to be aware of it. So the first step is acceptance and awareness. Without awareness, there can be no control. That is why we say, unless there is a distance, you cannot control. Like I gave the example in the class, I remember, I think, in this class only. When you want to throw the ball, supposing you keep the ball close to you and throw. Can you throw? So you keep like this and then throw. There is a distance when the ball travels. So there has to be a distance. So wise person doesn't know this. He doesn't see the gunas functioning. He's become one with the gunas. He's deluded. To the extent you are deluded, you do not know that you are deluded. Yes. To the extent you are deluded. To the extent you are mad, you do not know that you are mad.
So after you know it, you control it.
That knowing itself is a process of controlling.
And then you have to not treat it as your domain.
Yes, the moment you... Yes. No, that is not tough. It is all depending on how deep your knowledge is.
You need not take credit for it, for something good that you do.
But you're talking good and bad
both.
Pardon?
You're talking good and bad
both,
that is anger and love and whatever.
So either way, when you control and you do it right,
then
you shouldn't, your ego
shouldn't
get.
You will not, the moment you have this knowledge, you do not have this knowledge. Then obviously you will take credit for the good actions and you will deny the bad ones. Because that is what he says, the out of delusion, the unwise, one who is deluded by egoism, thinks I am the doer. Which means, like you say, he either takes credit or doesn't take credit and says, no, I didn't do this. Right? So, in other words, there are people who remain egoistic without doing actions. Whereas a wise person remains without ego while doing the action, because he clearly sees the difference between his original nature and guna. So he remaining as a witnessing agent, he understands that these gunas are apart from me. They are not me. See, remember this, always to understand this, anything that you see, or anything that can be seen, anything that can be objectified, is not you. You are the subject seeing it. You are the subject feeling it. You are the subject knowing it. Anything that can be objectified is not you. So gunas are something that can be objectified. You know it. You see it. You not only see the gunas in somebody else. The more knowledgeable and more fine-tuned, more cultured and refined, developed you are, you start seeing the gunas in you also. As even before it is expressed. Isn't it? You see, yes, I do have these thoughts. That is why when you do meditation, you are told time and again, let the thoughts come. Don't identify with them. Just watch them. They come and go. However good, however bad the thought texture may be, let them come and go. You are seeing it come, you are seeing it go. That which comes and goes is not you. The person who is seeing it come and go is you.
Sometimes we need to just experience it, whether it's anger or seeing it come. Sometimes we just need to experience it to see it come and go also.
That's what I'm saying. The person who sees it comes and go will be able to control it and direct it. The person who doesn't even see, it comes, devastates him and goes, even while he is devastated, he will justify by saying, I gave her nicely. I just creamed her. I finished her. You understand? So you don't understand that actually that, like they have this phantom storm that is affecting the US. Like that, it comes and affects you, but you are not aware. You think you have finished the other fellow, but that anger destroys you. You don't understand that. So, that is what I am trying to say. To the extent you are in delusion, you don't even understand that you are in delusion. The moment you start realizing that these qualities are deluding me, you are slowly out of it. The process of getting out has begun. But that doesn't mean you are completely out of it. So now that you start seeing, like you said, you manage the thought. You say, okay, this is a thought that is detrimental. Because I understand the law is there. As I give, I receive. What I give, I receive. If I give negative, I receive negative. If I give positive, I receive positive. Then I start identifying with those thoughts. Even while I identify with it, I understand I am different. This thought is different. So I am not going to take credit for the good thoughts. I am not going to take credit for the bad thoughts that are emerging. So for that you need to see. That is why he keeps on saying tattvavet, seer. All these words are used. Tattvavit is different from knowing the Gita. you might still have studied the Gita, but continue to be deluded. The problem there is, I have studied Gita. I know Gita. Whether you know Gita or not is to be seen only by whether you are a seer or you are involved. So the test of development is objectivity or witnessing ability, to be a sakshi. In the first chapter, Arjuna was having Shatru Bhav and Mitru Bhav, but he never had Sakshi Bhav. Right? So, the Shatru is also inside you, the Mitra is also inside you, the negativities and positivities are inside you, you must be able to see it. So, this is what it's saying. A wise person sees them and sees them manifesting. I am only a facilitator, and being a facilitator, I allow, I don't allow, but I am not the doer. It is the gunas that have expressed. So when the gunas have expressed and something good has happened and everybody credits, the credit should go to the gunas and not to me. I was only a facilitator. Right. So when something negative happened, there also what is being criticized is the gunas, not me. So once you have this understanding, then you will not be elated or affected. You always remain balanced. So he says, one who is deluded by egoism, one who is caught up in this name and I, one who misunderstands himself to be this limited body, mind, intellect, ego complex, that person thinks he is the doer. The moment you have this doership, then you take credit and you suffer. So it is not the action, but it is the wrong identification. That is what he is explaining in this verse. We'll go to verse 28. Tattva vittu mahabaho, tattva vittu mahabaho, guna karma vibhagayoho, guna guneshu vartante, iti matvana sajjate, tattva vittu mahabaho, guna karma vibhagayoho, guna guneshu vartante, iti matvana sajjate. But he, O Mahabaho, Mahabaho means, O mighty armed Arjuna, truly speaking, who is a Mahabaho? A person who is mighty armed is one who is able to be objective. This physical prowess, the skill and all these things doesn't make you a Mahabaho. In the world you might be called as a Mahabaho. But honestly speaking, in the world, who is a mighty armed person? Who is really a strong person? One who has this objectivity. One whose intellect directs his mind. One who is able to be constantly remain a witness. He is the one who is a Mahabhava. He is the strong person. All the other people are involved. So it says, but he who Mahabaho, with the true insight, tattva with, not just sight, but insight, he clearly sees the gunas functioning in him, the gunas functioning in others, also in the objects. So tattva vittu Mahabaho, O Mahabaho, O mighty arm, with true insight into the distinctions of gunas, qualities and actions, knowing that gunas as senses abide in gunas as objects is not attached. See, what he is saying is, there is a like or a dislike in you. The guna in the form of a like and dislike in you is either attracted or not attracted towards the object in which the qualities are there. The gunas are residing in the object as qualities. Bitter God. Bitter God has bitterness. That is the guna nature of the bitter God. The guna in you which is mostly disliked in the context, interacts with the bitter God. So this is what he is saying. The guna in me interacts with the guna in the object. This interaction, a tattva with cease. So therefore, he does not get overpowered by the like or a dislike. In our case, the object thus has to come in front of our eyes, the gunas get interacted, we are totally lost. It all happens in fraction of seconds. Like in that poem, Pineapple and the Bee, which I keep quoting very often. Our dear delights are often such, exposed to view but not to touch. Then, our dear delights are often such, exposed to view but not to touch. The sight our foolish heart inflames. The sight our foolish heart inflames will long for pineapples in flames. With hopeless wish, one looks and lingers. One breaks the glass and cuts his fingers. But they whom truth and wisdom lead. Verse 28, chapter 3. Maybe in the previous Janma, William Cooper must have studied Bhagavad Gita. I don't know. So that's why he says, but they whom truth and wisdom lead, those who lead their life based on Bhagavad Gita, those who have not only attended weekly classes, but those who base their life on the Gita, those whom truth and wisdom lead, can gather honey from a reed. Right? So, in other words, you see the gunas playing with gunas. This is a game going on. Tamasha going on. So that's what he's saying. The matter in you is interacting with the matter outside. So one Swami said, matter is interacting with the matter, therefore it doesn't matter. So the guna guneshu vartan. If you don't, even if you forget these words, remember this sentence: guna guneshu vartan. Iti matva na sajjate. Thus knowing, thus understanding, thus realizing, having known thus, a wise person doesn't get attached. Doesn't get attached means he either allows it or doesn't allow it. By allowing it, he is ready to face the consequence. By not allowing it also, there is a consequence which he faces. In our case, we are not the one who is allowing it. It goes. Then the consequence comes. Then I say, I don't know what I did. I have been a very good person all along. You understand? But you don't realize that how the gunas in you interact with the gunas outside. This is all gunas. That is why they say even the food you eat has certain gunas. So if you are wishing to develop sattva in you, then you must incorporate sattvic food in your daily diet. They are conducive for the growth of sattva. Everything is gunas. So depending on what your objective is, you need to promote those gunas. Right? So this is what a wise person does. This, for him, this becomes a game. This becomes a tamasha. This becomes a play. Therefore, he is always above it. The other person is involved. Since he is involved, he is not on it, he is in it. And suffers. So a wise person who is above it, for him also there will be consequence. But he sees it, observes it, deals with it. Whereas the other person is affected by it. So that's what he says. But that's
similar to what we did last class. I mean, it's the same thing, how to deal with people. If you let it affect you,
exactly.
How you get...
So when you see somebody, see, like you go to a zoo. In the zoo, you see a tiger. You see a snake. You see a camel, deer. All these animals are there. Each one has typical gunas. Right? You clearly understand them. you love that animal, but while you deal with that animal, depending on the guna of the animal, you either go close or maintain the distance. But as far as your love is concerned, the same.
So how do you deal with difficult people?
This is what it is. You must understand the gunas of that person. You must understand your gunas. Your gunas. There are certain things irritate me. So you think they are the cause. This is the fault we do. Oh, that is irritating me. If the problem was there, then it should irritate everybody. It is not irritating everybody. Therefore, the gunas in me are different. That is not able to tolerate that particular guna in that person. There is somebody else whose gunas are different. They are able to tolerate.
So, the experience. More the experiences one has had.
What do you mean by that?
Instances, like your dealings with that person that upsets you or that troubles you.
Sometimes
the same thing affects you, sometimes it doesn't. It depends on your state of mind.
No, it affects you with that particular
person. Largely true. Sometimes maybe the same thing doesn't affect you as much.
Yeah. You don't let it affect you that much.
Because you just shut your mind. But with a particular person, it is constant. Because you're
not necessarily.
See, you remember that example we discussed before. You like some food, generally all the time. But the same food you don't like, then you have fever. No, I don't want to eat that. Please. Probably last week you were telling, please bring it, I want to eat it next week, and they brought it. Now you are having fever. So in the body, the nature is different now. So this is what a wise person understands. So he says, okay, this is the guna of that particular person. This is the guna of Delhi. You know, when I was going in the car, sometimes the radio is on. Last week there was this Deshara, right? I came to know from the radio only. They were saying in different places they have this burning of this Ravan. So in some places the Ravan was named after diabetic. In some places they have named it as show off. Because they say what they found out is from statistics, what is the biggest Ravan in Delhi? Because Ravan in Delhi is showing off. The culture of showing off. I'm not saying this, radio center, right? So, with my little India, I understood that. So, showing off. So, they had named that Ravan's effigy as show off. And then they burnt it. You know, the evil. See, in other words, you understand the traffic, the guna of that particular city. The weather, Delhi weather, you should know, right? If you know Delhi weather, you will be prepared for it. There are certain things, certain people can take cold, certain people's body can take heat, certain people different, right? So you understand that this is what me, this is what Delhi weather. And to run my business, I have to be here. And then, therefore, I take necessary precautions. And wherever I could not take precautions for whatever reasons, I understand there may be the consequence. So when the consequence comes, I accept it and face it and do what has to be done. Then I will not get stressed. Like Swami Ramatirtha says, all grumblings tantamount to, oh, why a lily not an oak? It is all grumblings, all grumblings tantamount to, oh, why a lily not an oak?
Accepting the things that you cannot change. Embracing it.
First, understand the guna. Snake has a guna. That is the nature of that snake. The problem is, in the animals, they have individual vasanas. I'm sorry, they have collective vasanas. Animals have what is called as collective. All snakes will function like that. All tigers function like that. When it comes to human beings, each one has individual vasanas. Right? Like Shakespeare says, one may smile and hate be a villain. yeah. In fact, I was thinking about you, but inside, Arre Baba, no, I was trying to go to a movie, this fellow was coming. You understand? So the individual vasana, the gunas are there in each human being. So even though we all belong to the same species, each one has a particular trait or few traits. So especially in the area where you are related, you are going to do your business, your work environment, your family environment, your friend circle, your city, your country, the mindset, you must understand. If you understand that mindset, if you have been living abroad in the West and you now shifted to India, you come with a certain gunas. You and me. But the mindset over here is different. Similarly, if you go from here and go and settle down there, you go with a different mindset. People over there have different mindset. No, I can't deal with these things. This is not correct. How can they say like, how can they speak? So you are constantly saying they have that nature. That is why I told you in that discussion last week we had, you are saying they are having those negativities. Then why are you having some again? It's like you are saying they had chilies. 1 kilogram chilies they ate for breakfast. And you are having some again. How is it possible? So the point you need to understand is, you also have certain gunas. You also, based on those gunas, have certain expectations. You are also not understanding that this is the nature and preparing yourself accordingly for that. Then there is no problem.
So the people that we are more connected with is basically the expectation we have from them, whether it's how they behave or how they accept everything.
Absolutely. In fact, many a time, you don't even have the assessment of the situation. You don't even have the assessment of the culture there. You have no assessment. Neither have you assessed your own guna. Absolutely not. There is no time, because it's like, I think it is that...
You actually probably assess what your expectation is from that person. You are also expecting that person to behave
as well. That's what I'm saying. First of all, nobody assesses their personality or the other's personality, because there is no time. Vedantin is calling you and says, excuse me, just 5 minutes, let us sit down and... No, I have no time. You see, that fellow is running. He is running and he has already bought over 5 lands in Noida. And you are asking me to sit down and analyze. I will lose. By the time I analyze him, he will die in 5 more lines. So what are we doing? We are running, running, running. Nobody sits down. Nobody has time.
When you talk about expectation, okay, you have expectations like someone should behave in this manner. But let's say, what about expectation that, okay, this person should not behave badly with me?
It is like if I ask you say a snake can bite and hiss everybody, with me it should not. This is what you are saying. So, I mean, you answer your own question now. The question is this, I am rephrasing the question. The question is, it's okay that the tiger is ferocious with everybody else, but with me at least it should not be ferocious. It should behave like a cow. What is this? The nature of the tiger is that.
I don't know that everybody. I told you that it's expectation. No? So I'm just thinking on expectation. You had okay, we should decrease our expectations and
there is no decrease, increase. Understand. Forget decreasing, increasing, all this is. If you assess correctly, you will not have wrong expectations.
But can
lack of assessment, listen to this, lack of assessment or wrong assessment leads you to undue expectations or wrong expectations. Therefore, your expectations will not be met, you will be disappointed, which is stress. So all that he is saying, in fact, he is talking about stress management here. Karma Yoga is the only way to deal with stress. Karma Yoga is Buddhi Yoga. He has already coined that word in the second chapter, if you remember. I pointed out to you in verse 39, he said, till now I spoke to you on Sankhya Yoga, now listen to Buddhi Yoga. Listening to Buddhi Yoga and implementing in your life, you will not be bound by actions anymore. This is what verse number 39, chapter 2 said. You can go and refer to it. So why are we bound? Why are we affected? Why are we stressed in life? Because we don't use our buddhi while we act, while we deal, while we interact. We are not aware of our qualities, we are not aware of their qualities. Therefore we get into problems. See, for example, a person who is a teetotaler, who has no desire whatsoever for drinking, who is gunas are not there only for drinking. Right, he has no problem being with the people who drink. Are you with me? But you are somebody who has had this weakness of drinking, and now you are suffering from typhoid or jaundice. So the doctor has cautioned you, even though you are now relatively okay. Just now you had jaundice, so for a few months, no means no. Right. So you know that you ought not to have, but you have the guna to have. Are you with me? The quality is there for you, the gunas are there, the nature is there. You like the alcohol. It is there in your blood also, craving for it. You understand? So now, if you are wise, what will you do? Depending upon the strength of it, you may even avoid going to that function. But when you go, when you take the decision of not going there, you don't take the decision because there is something wrong with that environment. You understand that I am weak. This is the problem. Vedanta is saying, in some situations you might have to not step into the situation only, if it's possible. If it's inevitable, you can't help it. But if it is possible to avoid it, avoid it. But today when you avoid, when you escape, you are blaming that situation and you are escaping. When you don't blame that, and you understand the fault is in me, the fact that my friend is able to go there, because he doesn't have the desire or the nature. I have this weakness. If I have the guna and I have this witness ability, then when the friend is standing there, when I go there, I would still not have it. Because I have the capacity to be a witness. Therefore, I am not going. Not because they are bad. The thing is that I have a weakness. The moment you understand this, you are growing to become a wise person.
Can I just go back to the tiger story? Mamta gave an example of, you know, what do you do when you have a problem? Now a tiger, okay, is ferocious and everything, but it doesn't attack everyone who comes there. He only attacks when he's hungry.
Is that it?
Or if he's provoked.
Okay.
Not provoked.
Okay.
So now, in human relationships, I feel that some people with whom, maybe very few, but you feel that there comes a tiger is ready to just jump at you. And she doesn't do that, or he doesn't do that with everyone else.
Yes, it's a tiger is a snake. It's easier to, you know, tiger is a beautiful animal. Yes, it's a snake.
You know, but a snake hisses at you.
No, Richard, don't get, you're getting involved in the animals.
No.
Yeah, discussing about guna. You're getting.
That doesn't do it every time. It only does either when it's provoked, like she said, or when the person is hungry, when the animal is hungry. It charges or it attacks.
So, what's the question?
So, I'm saying that when you come across that person, you feel that the person is always hungry. He's always ready to charge at you. Not like the 20 others who are in
the room. So, deal with him accordingly if you have understood that way correctly.
Yes, so
if you
think
that is the nature of that person,
yeah.
Then understand and
that's your one to one relationship.
Yes.
So, when Arjun goes to war, similarly, he goes to war, he fights and he comes back, and then he has to just wipe that out, right?
Yes.
That he did it as a duty, finished. And not bring it home.
Yes. What do you do when you are a cricket?
That is not wrong, right?
Pardon?
So that is not wrong.
Which one?
That when you are fighting into war, you do your bit and move away.
You are sticking to war, you fight.
Move away means what?
Meaning don't keep it inside you or don't.
Move away, listen to me now. Move away means what I am saying. Moving away to prepare yourself so that in any situation you will be able to deal with it.
With the mind.
Later on. Today I am weak. Today I am not able to go in front of Bali. I have to hide behind the tree and shoot. So I have to hide behind, prepare myself. I am, see, like for example, any sportsman has a certain weakness, let us say. He is not able to play backhand well. So what does he do? He goes on practicing the backhand, at home every day. Isn't it? So that next time he is better prepared. So, last time I lost, he is not constantly thinking about it and then he quits playing. If he is a true sportsman, he will say, okay, you beat me knowing my weakness. Now, I will plug the weakness. Next time I will not have the weakness.
So it's a mean or cunning if you attack somebody's weakness, or is it? That was my question.
You are not attacking, you are not allowing that person to attack you.
So in defense you do that, right?
Yes, in defense is, I don't know in what way you are using the word defense. See, supposing you are in this situation, understanding this is the nature. So to deal with that person, this is what is to be done, that's the right thing, you do that. So you have no intention to harm that person.
Correct.
Therefore you are not attacking that person for that reason. So then it doesn't become attack.
But you can protect yourself.
Of course you should.
There is something very obviously blatantly wrong happening towards
you. It is not just protecting yourself, you should protect the total of
the situation.
Yes. That is why we said, be soft but firm. What do we mean by that? Well, Shakespeare says this. Be soft but firm. See, all this is possible only when you prepare. The problem is, even here when you prepare, you take that guna to be bad. You say, that guna being in the snake, you don't call it as bad. Because you understand snake has this guna. So it is your unintelligence to fix it as bad or guna. It is guna. You understand? There are certain qualities in you which can be detrimental. You are not seeing it. Right? As though you have only put in desires and intentions all the time. Who said that? It's not like that. So, there are people whose traits are different. A child is all the time laughing. There's another child all the time crying. Another child all the time sleeping. Right? So, there are different traits of people. You must understand that. So, if I know that X is or Y is a moody person, I understand the guna. Like moon has 15 days, that's right. 15 days, that's right. And accordingly, I did. I'm not judging that person based on the guna. The fact that I become judgmental means I am also ignorant. So I clearly see, okay, he or she is also Atma, consciousness. I am also forgetting this fact. Therefore, I am getting involved by the other person's gunas. In the other person's gunas. Then, you call me monkey, you are a donkey. Yes. So this means we are getting
involved.
So calculating, how many times she said good morning? Thrice. So I am obligated to say thrice. You understand? So you start functioning like this, which means you are involved. You are losing it, or you have lost it already. So the idea is this. You step back and clearly see. This is the good. See, like for example, we are having classes different places. Right? The same words. I have to speak a little differently here and there. That depends on the cross section of the gunas of the class. The gunas are different, no? Each one is different. The essence has to be given. But how do you put it across? The examples also has to be different to the context. Right? So, the idea is, this is what you need to understand. Everything is a manifestation of gunas, including you. everything is a combination of spirit and matter. Spirit is the consciousness. Consciousness is that which is a witness. Consciousness has nothing for or against anything. Consciousness is the catalyst. In the presence of consciousness, everything manifests. Okay? You have a reflecting medium which is called as mind and intellect. The object doesn't have that mind and intellect, therefore they are not conscious. In them also there is consciousness and the gunas functioning, but in them the reflecting medium is not there. Therefore, see, for example, sand is there. Sand is opaque or transparent?
Opaque.
What is the glass made of? Mirror.
Sand
only, silicon only. But you go on refining the sand, then it becomes
transparent.
It's the same thing. So the subtle body is the refined matter which is there, or wherever it is there, or to the extent it is there, that being has consciousness. Meaning, consciousness is there in every being, but that being expresses the consciousness. Is aware. So we say animals, compared to animals, plants have less consciousness. Animals have more consciousness. Human beings have much more. Because every, the plant, animal and human being all have subtle bodies. Are you with me? But the difference is there in the subtlety of the subtle body. But in the case of the rock, that is also matter expressed in the medium of consciousness only, but it doesn't have the subtle body. Therefore, it doesn't know the pain and pleasure, that's all. Because the transparent medium, the subtle body is not there. So you understand, this is the guna of this tree. You know, there is one leaf, when it touches you, you start itching. So what do you say? That is the nature of that plant. Who asked you to go and touch it? Now you are saying, burn all the trees as if that has done something wrong. Hey Baba, you understand? Okay. This is the nature. Therefore, next time, I say, okay, this leaf has this nature. This is probably good for that, this is probably not good for this. So in your organization also, somebody has a certain nature. So that, if you touch, it's going to do this. But that person without touching is good enough for that. Use that person for that. This is what the wise person will do. Unwise person, oh, you're a bad fellow. Remove him from the organization. You bring somebody else. If you touch him, no problem. But he doesn't do anything on you. So, you have to understand, because many times, you know, some of the people who come to discuss about problems, you know, suddenly very, very interesting. Some of the problems that people discuss with me, maximum is how to deal with servants. Compared to that, even dealing with mother-in-law question is less. You understand? I'm just saying. Sometimes I exaggerate also. So, but to convey something, what I'm trying to say is, you understand this fellow's guna is like this.
I think the government is doing that because of the transfer bureaucrats.
See, you have to deal with what is available.
Yes.
There's no point, oh, India is like this, India mein sahi hai, oh, hey, oh. A wise person works within what is available. Because he clearly understands the guna. So he assesses correctly, okay, you, okay, this person is like this. Touch me, not leave. Okay. But the touch me not leave is probably good for something else. He uses that for that.
Touch me not.
So some other thing is there which is good for, I don't know, See, the problem is everything you misunderstand. Because I know we had some discussion last week, so I understand the discussion, what they are talking about. That's me not. The naming somebody else, that's me not. So I'm not saying that. Okay? You are saying that. I told you about that teacher trying to communicate.
He gave a very nice example, asked of the Zen master and the scorpion.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. You say, man. I'll take some risk.
No, this is all recording. Guruji can talk.
No, I was talking about a scorpion falling into a river. And a saint there was trying to take it out with his palm. And the scorpion is stinging his hand as he is removing it. And because he couldn't take the pain of sting, the scorpion is falling back again. Again and again he's trying to bring it out. So somebody who was watching, he said, why are you functioning like a fool? Can't you see it is stinging you? He said, the scorpion is functioning according to its guna, his nature. I am functioning according to my nature. That's all. In the world, this is exactly what is happening. That is what Lord Krishna is saying. You allow your nature for the betterment of everybody. So you don't judge a person, you don't have a vengeful attitude, you do not say somebody is bad, he is a negative fellow, somebody is good, nothing. So understand the gunas. The point is, you may have 20% negative or 40% negative, 60% good. The other person, the proportion may be different, but you also have that. So like the poem Turkey and the Ant, the poet says, yet you remark another sin with thy own conscience and look within. Control thy more voracious will, not for a breakfast nation's kill. So you see, okay, is this guna in me? This guna is detrimental. Unfortunately, this person seemed to have it, which has been cultivated over a period of time. By constantly feeding it, it has become a monster in that person. Poor chap. Right? And probably the fact that I am seeing it, I may also have it many a times. A money minded fellow looks at somebody and says, oh, he is after money. He is after money. It may be a fact that the other person is after money, but you are also equally money minded. That is possible. Right? Therefore, what you do? Do I have this trait in me? If I am sure I don't have this trait, then maybe there are other negatives in me. Go on cleansing them. Like we say, a Vedantin, a true Vedantin is a scavenger. What does a scavenger do? Keeps on cleaning. So you go on cleaning yourself. Every time you see some particular trait in the other person, quickly reflect back and say, do I have that trait? So you kind of say, oh my God, she is bad, oh, this is a very bad person. Oh, not only I am saying, the whole world is saying. The whole world is stupid. So you want to be stupid? Just because the whole world is saying doesn't mean it becomes correct. Whole world once upon a time thought that sun is revolving around the earth. So does it mean that it became correct at that time? It was correct. Just because million people say doesn't mean it becomes correct. What kind of a logic is this? Sir, it is not only me who is saying, you want to ask my husband, I will just now call, speak to him. Baba, whether it is husband, wife, children, grandfather, whosoever says that, that doesn't mean it becomes correct. You have observed a certain trait in certain people. Understand that. But why should, for that matter, you not love that person? If you understand this, you would, as a wise person, would love that person.
But it won't affect, like you might see the trait, but it won't affect you. The minute it's affecting you, then there's something where you need to strengthen yourself.
That's what I'm saying.
That person is,
that's exactly the conversation going on here. You clearly see this guna in the other person, this guna in the object. First start with object. Then go to animals. Then come to human beings. You will understand this verse clearly. Objects also have gunas, no? Certain traits. The color, the roughness, the softness, the taste. You understand? A sweet has a certain guna. Bitter gourd has a certain guna. Everything has a certain guna. The object has a certain guna. Yes. Then you slowly go towards. No, start one doesn't mean, okay, this janma with object, next janma with animals, and then third janma I go to a human being. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying it. When you analyze,
it should be
the side conversation.
So you say that even if there are certain negative things, it doesn't happen with random people. You always happen with a few people who are more involved in your life or you are more involved in. But even then, if something is affecting you, that means there's something which you need to learn and grow.
Not only you need to learn and grow, you have to live with that person.
You have to
live with that person with love and as a master, not as a slave who doesn't know what to do. It's like playing musical chess.
Yeah.
Okay. When that person comes to dinner, I finish my dinner already.
That's still affecting.
What I'm trying to say is, this is all escapism.
Yeah.
So if you say, okay, we are a family, this is the nature of that person, this is my nature. I understand we are one family, we are one organization. Right? That person has a beautiful quality of organizing. I accept that. I may not have that quality of organizing well. Some people have the ability to organize. I may not be able to do that. But they may have certain other traits which are negative. Just like how I may have certain good qualities, but I don't know how to organize. So understand that, and then the job of organizing to that person. So instead of that, we fix that person as bad, you understand. Then we are suffering constantly. So this is that's why I said this portion is a beautiful portion. He elaborates this further in the many other verses, especially in the 13th and 14th chapter. He talks about this. 13th chapter is Kshetra Kshetrajna Vibhaga Yoga, and the 14th chapter is Gunastraya Vibhaga Yoga. Three gunas. So he talks about the field and the knower of the field. In the 13th chapter, where he talks about Prakriti and Purusha in detail, because Arjuna asks certain questions. He asks a question as to what is the difference between Kshetra and Kshetrajna. What is the difference between Purusha and Prakriti? What is the difference between the knower and what is to be known? Right? Kshetra means field, knower of field, etc. So all that he asks, and Krishna answers those things. When he answers, also he talks about Prakriti and Purusha. Basically, from the absolute point of view, you are Atma. From the relative point of view, you are an assemblage of matter. Sattva rajas tamas. In you, maybe rajas is more, or maybe sattva is more, or tamas is more. Similarly, in somebody else. So what happens, if you are sattvic, then you flock with sattvic people. Birds of the same feather flock together. If you are a gossip monger vasana, then you will be with gossip monger. In other words, you are there in a kitty party. Then they say, you know what happened to that person? Supposing you do not have the gossip monging vasana, then you keep quiet. Supposing you have gossip monging vasana, acha, what happened? Means you are also having the vasanas. Guna guneshu vartante iti matvana sajjate. Gunas relate with gunas. The birds of the same feather flock together. You would be found amongst those people who have similar traits. Isn't it? So you say, these people who have these traits are my friends, are fast friends. Those people are all my enemies. In fact, those people who have different traits which come under your dislikes are actually your friend, because they make you strong. They teach you where you are weak. isn't it? You have no problem here, but the moment you are exposed there, you have a problem. So does it mean that you need to set that thing in order? You are easily able to win at the national level, but international level when you go, you have a problem. So what do? You continue playing at the national level to keep yourself alert and trained, but you also train watching the videos of the international players who probably need those sort of stadium or something. So you travel there, you take assistance from the corporate body or from the system or from the governing body, and then you go there, train, you go on playing with those people. When you play with those people, when your exposure is there, then you see their weaknesses, then you start beating them. All the time only, you are able to comfortably beat your son in chess, 3-year-old, and you are playing with him only. So
this is part of your interest. But the other thing is not part of your interest. So why would you
want to? But in the world, it is not all the time going to get to your interest. You will be sooner or later exposed to the areas which doesn't fall under your interest. Now, what will happen? This is what happens to a lot of people. When you go on pampering a child, this is what you're doing. The moment the child hears a no, that's it. Tantrum or commit suicide or all the nonsense. Reverse. You understand? So, the world is not designed to cater to one individual's interests or likes and dislikes. So, understand. Like I said, it is a buffet. World is a buffet. Right? When you go to a temple, they give you prasad. Prasad mein everything will be there. Thoda imli, thoda sweet, thoda salt, thoda spice. You understand? That is how life is. These are the different traits. These are the different gunas. All these gunas will be there. In fact, all these gunas are there in everybody. I'm forgetting that quotation by some American thinker. I'm not quoting it exactly, but it is something like this. It says, there is so much good in the best, there is so much good in the, there is so much bad in, there is so much worse in the best of us. There is so much good in the worst of us. Therefore, it ill behaves us to talk about the rest of us. Something like that. There is so much worse in the best of us. There is so much good in the worst of us. Therefore, it ill behaves us to talk about the rest of us. Understand, the permutation combination is different. If the permutation combination is same, you will get bugged. You need variety, huh? Permutation combination has to be little different. That also you say. So, if you understand that correctly, then you would welcome such difficult, demanding guna traits so that you can go on sharpening yourself. See, a person who is interested in the growth, he would not name that person as touch me not. That person will become the person whom I should touch. You understand? In other words, you want to touch, first time you touch, these were the repercussions. So I go test myself. This is what they do in the research lab also. The next time they say, okay, isko treat karo. So different reaction comes. Sabko treat karenge, everybody go, after they try, they release the medicine. Isn't that what they do? Exactly like that. So you are saying, touch me not. But this is not what Vedanta says, touch me not. Vedanta says, touch. But before you touch, temporarily you don't touch, you are readying yourself to touch. It is going back not to run away, it is going back one or two steps to ready myself to come back. You understand what I am saying? See, always when you take two steps back, in chess also, when you play chess, you take few steps backwards. The few steps that is taken backwards is not to go on taking steps backwards. It is to re-strategize and get forward. This is what you do. So in life also, okay, with my available data, I functioned like this. So it seems obviously I functioned with less data. So now, okay, I've got new data. Now with that new data, I reinforce myself, I plug the holes, I ready myself here and there, then get back. It's a game, it's a tamasha, it's a play, it's a leela. This is what Krishna is saying. The leela is happening between gunas. You watch. So when you watch, when you fail also, you say, okay, I'll go back and come back. This is what Ghazni Muhammad did. Every time he failed, he learned what not to repeat. So he succeeded. So you are saying, does he not? That's not what Vedanta is saying. I mentioned this before also. You are retreating not because the situation is bad. You are retreating because you are not prepared for this. So you get back and prepare. The point is, all the time a Vedantin never blames anything else. This is the first lesson and last lesson you learn in Vedanta. Today, in all the discussions, you're convinced that that is bad. Therefore, I should not go. So what are you doing? You're all the time trying to sit in air condition. So the power cut happens, you suffer. Isn't it? We are outside and inside, every sense we try to pamper ourselves and then say we are intelligent. We are not intelligent. Life is underlined by one word which is called as uncertainty. Even if you were the most richest fellow in New York today, they would have evacuated. Oh, you don't know my bank balance, doesn't matter. Isn't it? So whosoever you are, they would have evacuated you because the situation is like that. So all those colored papers, what we call as money, sometimes could be gone. And then what do? If the inside is weak, so that is why we say the real wealth is the ability to be a witness. The guy who has the ability to be a witness, in spite of failing, he keeps on learning and gets back. This is what the sports teaches. That's why we say you have to, you know, be in some sports or the other. Because sports teaches you this. You get back. And then you ready yourself, prepare yourself, get back again to fight. Doesn't matter. So winning or losing is not the point. Understand the guna's function. So with reference to everything, what is the guna of a particular sofa? That sofa, some sofa you sit, you go inside. From inside somebody is talking. Because the sofa has taken you through like some beds, you know. Very expensive. You lie on that, go inside. Next day morning you get up with some severe back pain or something. Understand the guna. Then decide whether you want to deal with it or you do not deal with it. How to deal with it? What to do? What not to do? Okay, so with that also, you live peacefully. When you do not understand that, you go on blaming that, you suffer. So these are verses which are directly linked to our day-to-day living. So he says, Tattva Vittu Mahabaho Guna Karma Vibhaga Yogo. You must clearly distinguish the guna action and the person. the combination of this particular body, mind, intellect and atma has been given the name madhu. And madhu has certain gunas, atma, gunas, and according to the gunas, the actions also. But that is madhu's gunas samshini. It is not the essential nature of madhu. The essential nature of madhu is atma. So my gunas, my actions, interacting with madhu's gunas, actions, has brought this result. How much control I have over madhu's gunas and my actions? Either it is none or very little. But with my gunas and actions, I have control. So, where there is possibility to control, think kar sakte, you can do things correct there. So, it is like insulating yourself with the knowledge. Then the same thing doesn't affect you. So you first have to stop blaming the other person, other situation, anything outside. If you are continuing to blame, then we might have to redo third chapter again. Let's continue.
पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः